This is the January 9th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 245 for property ID 14395-6004. The property address is 8900 Northeast 163rd Ave, and the property is owned by Thomas and Leilani Brennan. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There's no one present from the assessor's office, and we do have Thomas here for the appellant. I know we can't see you, but if you could please raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Doing it now.
Perfect.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
No questions whatsoever.
So I've
lived in this home for 20 years. We moved in right before September 11, 2001. I'm a 100% service-connected disabled veteran. And normally I don't, I think in the 20 years we've been, or actually 22 years we've been in the home, I generally kind of go with what the assessor says. I think there's been twice in that 22 years, this will be the third time, where I've had a problem with the assessor's assessment of my home. We've done minimal to the home, and I just find his assessment to be a little bit ridiculous, and if they would pay me for that, what they assessed the house at, I would gladly sell it to them. Obviously, we're going back to January 1st of 2023, not today, because obviously real estate in our area has taken a big hit. But even then, my siding on the south side is falling off. They want $5,000 to repair it. I submitted that. Where I don't know if you look at it, you can see it's kind of hanging off. And the guy said just to replace that top area of the house is $5,000. And
then we don't have any bids or pictures. You submitted
Okay. Yes. Okay. I wonder without that, is this hearing moot? Or could it just go off of my testimony?
Mr. Chairman?
Well, it's we have to have some evidence of what you're saying.
Don't you qualify for isn't there a provision for service-related disabilities to be taxed at a lower level?
To be honest, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. No one's told me about it. And I've never looked into it.
Yeah. Allison, I'm pretty sure there is. You got that information handy? Or?
I can email you information, sir, about the program. There is a disabled persons exemption program, and often veterans do qualify pretty easily, and it does provide a tax reduction, like specifically on the taxes, not just the property value. But I can send you that information after this hearing as well.
So that would be great. That would be great. But as I said, I just think they were shooting for there was a time, namely during the Trump years when, every year the property values were kind of going up. That has stopped dead in its tracks. And, when I look at Zillow, literally every month the property values are going down. And this is not, I think he has it, I forgot the number he had it at, with what it needs as far as siding and repairs inside, paint, flooring, carpet. It's not worth that much. And if the assessor were willing to write me a check, he can have the house for his assessed value. I would take it and run in a minute. But I guess that's the end of my testimony. I just think it's borderline asinine what they had it rated at. Maybe that's what they hoped it would go up if it had it continued. But everyone here lives in Clark County, and you know your property values are going down, yet the assessor's property assessments are going up, which just seems a little bizarre. But thank you.
Okay, if you appeal again, you should look into the exemption. But if you appeal again, you need to provide either comparable properties or some kind of bids or estimates by a third party entity on the things that you need to fix your house back up.
Yes, sir. I've done that before, and I thought I did it this time. I sent it in. Apparently, it didn't get there where it was supposed to be. But that's on me to make sure it should have been there. So I apologize.
Okay. Thank you. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay. And you'll send me off the link for that, the VA thing?
Yes.
Yes. Our hearings close at 12, and I will send it to you after that, sir.
Okay. God bless you. Happy New Year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Close the hearing.
This is the January 9th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 30 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 213 for property ID 18780303. The property address is 13301 Northwest 42nd Court, and the property is owned by David and Karen Newdston. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, and we do have David here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I affirm.
Thank you. Just to remind you, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, so I have sent information that are four different PDFs. I'll start off with the first one, which says read first dot PDF. And I'm showing how that on the first page, this piece of property that I own from the adjusted value of Clark County Board for last year of 565 is up 26.4%. Not only is there no basis in even the assessor's statements in the, that written thing that they send out where they say, oh, it's only up 3-4% in a year for average prices. In this case, his assumptions are being driven by completely dissimilar types of lots. And once again, when it comes to the kind and quality of property that I own, there have, at least in the previous subject here, in the current subject here that we're dealing with, while there were sales of lots in very restrictive subdivisions that were gate-guarded and with HOAs that were actually almost as high as sales of properties like what I have, there weren't any lots more like what I have so last year, but I have included sales from the year before. Why? Because it's within 5 years. Okay. So I think that's kind of so. The unique thing about the property that I have is even though it's in a location where most of the neighborhoods have not only restrictive CCNRs, but homeowners associations that are very restrictive. In my case, my property has neither. So that's the, as you're scanning on down, that shows the notice of value. Of course, it's showing previous value based upon this being sent out before your board had adjusted last year. And one of the things I want to focus on is that last year, the board saw enough closed sales to say, hey, David, your land is worth $150. And I wouldn't disagree with that. All right, so that's at the bottom of that page. As we now get to some of the sales, these will have some sales that close in... First one there closes at the beginning of 2021. And in that case, that sort of begins to set the low end of what the newer neighborhoods with these restricted, very restrictive CCNRs and HOAs for that year were selling for. There's another one coming up that shows 325. That one closes in 2021. Next one is another one that closes in 2021. One that's in another one in 2021 sells for $379.9. And now when we finally make it to 2022, in that same subdivision, now you have one selling for $400. You have one selling for $475. And there's only one sale that I can find that closes again a year before in 2021, which now is not a very restrictive lot. It actually says it's near or next to Ashley Heights, and it closes for $180 in 2021. Notice, didn't sell in 2 days or anything. They go through listing it at 210, then it goes to 200, and after negotiation, they sell it $180. Okay, so I'm sort of like talking out loud the process I go through to try to figure out what something is worth. Now I'm searching in the computer in areas I included 41, 42, and 43, and 41, 42, 43, and 44, to see what has sold. But my criteria was a larger criteria going back a few years, and as now we get into a close date, the next one I brought one up that is 180 shows us a sale date of 12/2/2021. Listen sells at 180, and a lot of the sales that the year before, you can see there was lots of sales for 140, 150, 175. Okay, what was the point of all those sales? To once again show you my lot is not like these $400,000 lots. Not at all. Okay. Next one. The one that says read second. When you go to the top, it's just a showing the tax data information for my property and the last information. Probably is a year old now. It's probably from when I was looking for it. But again, my property now is a 5-bedroom, 3.5-bath house. That's 2,798 square feet. Built in the early 2000s. It was intentionally built to be built as cheap as possible because I personally know the person who had it built. I once was their broker. All right, outside pictures. Only thing that's really changed from last year is the fence is blown down. I have absolutely no intention to ever build it again, unless the assessors say my fence that I built was $5,000 for the section. again, why we keep the yard cut. We simply use this as a Catholic group home, providing housing for people in need. Original carpet. Yes, we did a conversion of the family room to a bathroom with permits that we talked about before in the past. Literally used the exact same carpet that was originally down and simply built a wall and put in a bathtub. So there's some pictures. When you get to page 8, my qualifications as a real estate broker, I always point out the RMLS always has the caveat that they're reporting things which may or may not be accurate. And they now report any square footage that has the potential of being finished as being square footage, unless it's an attached garage. All right. The last page in this file, again, is when I'm buying the property, when I'm pointing out to Scott Hogan, who's the head of Clark County Title locally and is an attorney, hey, I don't see any recorded CC&Rs. You haven't included any recorded CC&Rs other than the notes on the survey. And he said, yeah, absolutely, you're right. There are no CC&Rs nor a homeowners association, regardless of what some of your neighbors think, in this subdivision. And that shows the only things that I am subject to, which essentially I'm subject to easements and I'm subject to the law. All right. Up to read third, EDF. And back to dealing with value of land to show you how much of a non-fair and open market it is in regards to land. At least sales to the MLS, I tried to find literally from 1-1-2019 through 1-1-2023 any sale of land that had a zip code of 98685 that did not have a homeowners association. Why? It's one of the big issues of value or no value on my property. I could only find 9. And while this trends back 5 years, it shows that in time, they are trending lower in price than these other sales significantly. As we move up, without putting in the next page, when you get to page, where am I up to? That's page 1. Oh, when you get to page 2, process I'm going through trying to say, hey, is there any basis in the appraiser of the assessor's assessment? I can find sales last year, but all of these sales start at 325, go except for one, which is the one at 150. And as I look at them specifically for last year, the sales last year were all in this same gate-guarded subdivision with HOA fees. The CC&Rs actually say that the HOA is who takes care of the pavement. County's off the hook. And now you have sales that are between 400 to 475. Now, did that magically turn my land into up 100? No. This is not one closed sale to support it. You can theoretically loop it into a computer and jumble it all together. But until someone tries to get it, tries to put something for sale and gets it, it doesn't mean anything. Here's the specific ones that are that high. These are all sales for 400, 425, 425, 475. Now, the next thing we're going to look at, we're going to look at closed sales of my square footage that are basically $100,000 to $150,000 more than just these land sales. Not the land, but a lot and a house. So that's that read forth PDF. Okay, going through my process of what's my property worth. First thing that comes up is I am looking now for the year that you're supposed to look at. And I'm trying to say, okay, big square footage houses, what has sold that were not $800,000 houses that were built 2 years ago or last year on $400,000 lots? So that's all of them. As I looked at some of them were too dissimilar, like there's a sale there at 10706 Northeast Hazeldale Avenue. That is a three-bedroom, 2.1-bath house. It was 2,690 square feet. Sells for $375. It was really thrashed versus all the other sales are much more similar. For instance, 109 Northwest 10th Street is a 2,632-square-foot house that sells for $520. So now let's look at exactly when. As you go through the next page, I'm narrowing it down to the three that I think are the most similar to what I have, which is 3701 Northwest 12th Street, 1214 Northwest 148th Circle, and 10018 Northwest Ridgecrest Avenue. Those are the closed sales for the subject here. We're looking at 520, 522, 540. The next page, which shows on the top, have like a screen view with specific reasons. That's just a flat mistake. That's irrelevant to this transaction. Unfortunately, with my issues in my brain, I get confused sometimes and that has nothing to do with this. I think that's clearly a screenshot. All right, so now let's look at these that I think are the most similar in value. So 3701 Northwest 112th Street, the 2,680 square foot house. As I go through the listing information, we'll point out the obvious. It goes pending on 10/25/22. Notice the original price is 625. Oh, why? Because the assessor probably has it assessed at 6 something. And yeah, hey, if the assessor said it, it's got to be true. They last asked 549.9, and they actually sell it for 520. Now, while they say they don't have a HOA, they also then say they have $200 due. As I looked more into it, I was told that it was essentially just cutting entrance brass and a monument, and it's more like a HOA that takes care of common areas, but they don't have jurisdiction over people's houses. And there's the property with pictures. So what do I see? Well, I see a piece of property that's just as crappy yard as the one I have. But when I go inside, I go, wow, nice house. If I was looking to invest money in this county, I should have bought it because it's lots of square footage and I could have housed some people there. Nice deck, nice view, and fair and open market, nobody had to buy, nobody had to sell. So it's basically down near the neighborhoods where these now 400,000-ish lots are. And the kind and quality of houses that are being built in those neighborhoods are completely different. Very contemporary looking houses with the best of everything inside and out. The next one, 1214 Northwest 148th Circle, list date of 11/11/2021, and it asks 535, sells for 535, hence, oh, I'm sorry, sells for 522, So people are negotiating again. The I'm going to pay you $50,000 more for your property is over. And that is a close date from 1-3-2022. More pictures there, in and out. Well, I don't see gorgeous outside landscaping. I just see some grass down. But inside, pretty nice looking house. I can't tell. I think it's probably laminate flooring and or vinyl plank, but I can't really tell. I do see carpet in it besides that. If there were a lot of houses for sale, the backyard would be an objection for some people because it's not very deep. The next one, 10018 Northwest Ridge Crest Avenue, 2,732 square feet. While it doesn't have a three-car garage, both of the other ones I forgot to mention that we were looking at have three-car garages. One of the first one doesn't really look like it's a three-car garage, as I remember right, but it's a tandem three-car garage where you drive one car in and you drive the next one in. But back to the third one. So this property... last listings at 540 when it sells. It started at 564 at 99. Oh, I'm sorry. There's been another one. Probably because of previous assessments. They originally tried 625. They dropped to 564,999 once they figure out that the assessor is full of crap. And now they actually sell at 540. And that closes on 9/19/2022. One interesting thing about this house is it has an outside hot tub and, well, it doesn't have a three-car garage. It does have a workshop, which it's not exactly the same as having a car you can drive into, but it has value just the same. Okay, so my conclusion as a real estate broker. I see houses selling in the low 500s that are way nicer on the inside than my property. Since this whole last couple years has been, oh, the market went to this, oh no, the market went down to that. All based upon a computer model with not a whole lot of closed sales to support things. My conclusion, I can't even remember. What did I submit at this one at? 490 something, Daniel? I've done, this is like
525.
There you go. That's what I would stand at. I think that's fair based upon the closed sales I just showed you. I don't know where it gets. Again, probably the 490 something is coming from that visual mistake. That's in that evidence that I made of that screenshot, which has nothing to do with this appeal. Because I had a brain thing and I screwed up. Any questions?
I don't have any questions.
Okay. So bottom line is I see no basis to say that land and lots like I have magically gone up the amount, nor has the value of my house magically gone up that amount. Now, if someone wants to buy it, put $250,000 in it, at least you're still going to have an ugly looking house on the outside. It's still not going to sell for what's being suggested. All right, I guess that ends our time. I guess that went.
I have a question for you. Couple of questions for you.
Yeah.
You rent this house out. You don't live in it, do you?
This is a rental, yeah. Well,
so how much did your rent go down in the last 2 years?
Actually, I think
according to the kind of testimony that is deteriorating and falling apart, have you had to lower your rent?
explain to you. I don't raise the rent until I get the final tax numbers.
I didn't ask about raising it. I asked you how much you lowered it.
My rent hasn't gone down. I rent to, in the sense that you can consider what I do rent. That's questionable because these are Christian group homes, which are only, which people live in a community and they financially participate currently. The most expensive space on that premises is $850 per month, which includes all utilities and all maintenance and Wi-Fi. The least expensive is $550. I'm not competing against, say, renting an entire house. I'm looking at what does the market bear for, or what's a typical price that people are paying to rent by the room. But the goal of the housing is to provide housing for people by the room, so to speak, if they want to be part of the community and subject to the covenant that they entered into. In other words, the way in which they live. This is a legal group home. And, there's been Supreme Court stuff about it. So where you're coming from, John, is you're looking at what I do as if I'm simply buying something to rent it for as much as I possibly can. I'm starting from a different perspective. I'm buying something, trying to keep the price as cheap as I possibly can.
Well, excuse me. No. It's very nice that you're benevolent like that, but we're looking at the value of real estate based on what it can generate in the market, what is normal and typical. You're not looking at it that way. So your answer for my question is totally irrelevant when it comes to what is the actual market value of the real estate. So yeah. That's fine. Thank you for doing that and providing for the community.
Yeah, but now let me look at it from a different perspective. I've owned rentals since I was 19 years old. I know a lot about rentals and renting to people and all the stuff and all the things that can happen. If I looked at this clearly from a financial perspective, it's actually for me an okay deal. Why? Because I never have a house go completely vacant. We only have someone that is doing better and now they can rent their own apartment. So, bottom line is, if you run the numbers and you back out, we're paying for utilities, we're doing this, it actually is pretty similar to what this house would rent for, which is, I think probably the fair market rent of this house these days is, at least $3,000 a month.
You know, people renting a house very similar to this, and it's about $2,600 a month.
Okay, so I'm 400 over. The difference is, in my model, I'm paying for water, sewer, electrical, maintenance. I'm just giving these people a turnkey experience so that they can change their life and do better. Therefore, when the assessor is using these crazy sales to assume that just because in an environment of low interest rates, people chose to get deeply in debt and build million-dollar houses means my property went up, only if there's closed sales. So I showed you three closed sales that are very similar to what I concluded it was worth. And at least in the time frame we're talking, probably the next year, yeah, looks like there's been some sales since that time. But we're not talking about the next year, we're talking about the year now. That's the subject. 2023 assessment based on closed sales in 2022. Okie doke.
Did you look at the the assessor's comparable properties?
I don't know if I even got in the assessor's comparable property.
Okay.
So by definition, if the assessor's sending me property that has gorgeous landscaping and brick all on the front and all the stuff that, say, comes with some of the houses that surround it, you know, tile roofs, etc., it's not the same, nor is this one the same. And in fact, to show you, John, that it's not the same, if I wanted to be a total dick, I could paint this property purple and nobody can do a damn thing about it. Yeah, so I don't always get anything from the assessor. Hence, whatever they've sent you hasn't made it to me. All right. Anything else?
Nope. Got it.
So bottom line is, assessor is raised just from the previous year, 565 to the 6-something. What's it based on?
714.
Closed sales of dissimilar houses in a computer. All right, thank you.
Thank you. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Yeah, I understand.
All right. Bye-bye. Close the hearing.
This is the January 9th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We'll be reviewing late files submitted to the board. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office. The first late file we'll be reviewing is a good cause request from the K4 Group, LLC. They'll be they're late filing for 21 parcels that were filed online on November 28th, 2023. The property IDs will be listed on the form. They reference reasons B, C, and E on the good cause request form. Reason B states the taxpayer was unable to file the petition by filing deadline because of the occurrence of all the following. That the taxpayer was absent from his home or address for more than 15 days. The filing deadline's after July 1st. Reason C states the taxpayer was unable to file the petition by filing the deadline because the taxpayer reasonably relied upon incorrect, ambiguous, or misleading written advice. And reason E states the taxpayer was unable to file the petition by the filing deadline because of a delay or loss related to the delivery of the petition by the Postal Service. The taxpayer must be able to provide documentation from the Postal Service for such a delay or loss. Our agent representative from K4 Group LLC wrote on their form, the taxpayer stated filing the appeals for all 24 online on the BOE website on November 27th and was able to submit appeals on 3 of the properties online, 3 tax parcels, 98605-9603, 98605-9604, and 98605-9605, were filed online on November 27th, 2023, and all 24 parcel numbers were listed on each of the files on the 3 filed appeal requested submitted. So each serves also as a de facto multiple parcel form appeal request stated by the appellant, since all 24 slots have the same concern that is being appealed due to inaccurate lot value. The related adjacent 21 parcels were also individually filed immediately on November 28th, 2023, the assumed cutoff date with the additional info requested. Those property IDs are listed on this form. With the understanding from the BOE website that there were 60 days from the mailing date of 9/28/2023, which was understood to allow for appeals to be submitted 60 days after mailing on and through 11/28/2023. Also, on each of these 3 submitted appeals, all 24 parcel numbers were called out and listed. During the submittal process on November 27th, the BOE website, without any notice and unexpectedly cut off online submittals as of 11:59 p.m., November 27th, 2023, it would be clearer and the confusion avoided if the notice of value also included the actual submittal cutoff date and time instead of having what seems to be an ambiguous cutoff date. It does not seem consistent or logical that the date the notices are mailed might also count as one of the days, especially if the notices are postmarked that day, but only get out in the mail at the end of the day. Regardless, on November 28th, the remaining 21 appeals with the waiver request of filing deadline was also submitted on November 28th, and the late filing was immediately remedied after figuring out how to address it and providing this waiver. It was only realized later on November 28th that a consolidated multiple parcel appeal could be submitted for all 24 properties, since all 24 properties are related and contiguous and in the same subdivision in Lincoln Woods, and this would have sped up the process. And I will show you their petition form as well, which has the properties listed like this.
So it does list all 21 properties?
In the reason. So they don't have it listed on the form or anywhere, just in the specific reasons. And this will be... It's hard to get it on one screen. I'm sorry.
Is there a reason why we can't put the date on there, the end date? I mean, that I kind of agree with that. I think it would be a lot clearer. Can we not do that, or
is it
too hard, or what?
As far as the notice of value, we can give suggestions to the assessor's office. I know the former clerk, Michelle Murray, was advised by the Department of Revenue not to provide the specific date. I know we used to provide it on our materials, but now no longer do.
Because make it easier for the appellant, and we don't want to do anything to help the appellant, right?
Yeah.
Same old reason. Well, I think that's baloney.
Yeah, I kind of think from what it looks like and sounds like here, I think they were intending and attempting to comply with it. And if there's a little question over the stroke of midnight, I guess I think we could accept them and hear it anyway.
Yeah.
If hearing it doesn't mean we'll change them.
Yeah, I think the attempt was made to get everything filed, but it just didn't work out for them.
I don't. Why can't we put the date on there? Are we gonna?
It's a standard form. Is that correct?
The notice of value, yes. Our, let me see if they have one included in this packet. I think they do. I can show you where our section is. So, oh my gosh.
I mean, in our section, if we used to have it on there, I don't see why we couldn't put it on there. To me, that's just.
This is where we can edit. So that's what we currently provide.
And this just says within 60 calendar days of the date. But it's business days, isn't it?
For notice of value for submission of appeals, it's calendar days. For evidence, it's business days. So it's different depending on the deadline.
Okay. Well, that's even more confusing.
Yeah.
I don't know why we can't put the date on there. I mean, come on. They still have to do
Does that form get printed every time, or do they have a pre-printed form that the numbers are filled into?
The notice of value in April or May, sometime in the spring, the assessor's office, in my experience, from what I've seen, comes to the clerk and asks, here's what we've provided before. Do you want to make any edits? So they send this out to a mailer and print it all at once. So we can make changes at one point, and then whatever we write here at the beginning will be what is here. Potentially for every notice of value through the whole 2024 or 2023 appeal season or assessment season.
Yeah. Or what I was getting at, though, is does it come out of the computer? And if it prints a date on the top, can it have any calendar day so that it automatically updates by itself?
That might be the problem, is what we provide would be on both the June form and the September form. So potentially, I don't know if I would have to check with the former clerk, Michelle Murray, again. I don't know if we are provided with an opportunity to change it before September as well, because based on what you're saying, the date might not be the same for both.
And, is there anything
else? No, but I'm saying if you do a Word document, for instance, you can set it to update the date that you're printing it. And can they do that with this document so that the date they print on the top of it automatically computes this 60 days or 90 days, whatever it is.
I'm not sure. I can talk to the assessor's office. Again, I know they send this out to a mailing company, so I think they have an official, like, this is done. I don't know if they could put logic in it for that printer to do that. I can check with them. I can have that discussion before notices of value go out about what can edit. I mean, we can certainly have a discussion about how we provide deadlines in our own material as well.
We could even do it in our own material. That would be helpful. That's what I was going to say. If we can't do that, and like Dan said, hopefully there's a way you can, but if you couldn't, we could at least provide it in our own material or on our own part of the website, because it's confusing to them. And then now you have calendar days and business days. I guess I wasn't realizing there were, you know. And if somebody from the Department of Revenue wants to argue about it, well, then that's fine. They can argue about it.
I would see if we can't make it, you know, interactive so that it automatically calculates the 90 days. It's 90 days, right?
60.
60 days. Okay. Calculates the 60 days from the date that's printed on the top. But it, I don't know if they send them a pre-printed form or whether it prints at the time they print it.
Yes, I'm not sure. I'll speak with them more in depth about the notice of value. I've not been involved in that procedure before except to edit the context.
And if they don't and can't, I think we can still do it on the BOE portion of it, whatever they get from us.
Well, this is what they get. We don't send anything out.
When they contact us about, I wanted to do an appeal, I have a question, you know, the forms that we send them online, it could be on our information to the taxpayer, not on the generic, you know, notice of value form. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Are they all dated the same date?
So they submitted two property IDs that I have not created because I was waiting for us to finish this, but two of the property IDs are considered complete cases and can be opened, and they were submitted as of November 27th, which was the cutoff date. They submitted one, like I said, after midnight, so it was technically November 28th, and then the other 21 parcels were submitted around 11 p.m.-ish, somewhere in there, on November 28th, which was the day after the cutoff date.
No, that's fine for them. I'm talking about the assessor's date. Does the assessor print all of them on the same date?
Yes. All of notices of value for the June mailing will go to the whatever company they use at the same time. And they'll all have the same mailing date, which will give them all the same deadline for that June date. And then they'll have a different one for the September. But then again, it'll all be the same for the September one.
All right, we'll see what you can do. Either an interactive date, or at least we can put a date on. If they have a mailing date, then our date would be exactly 60 days after that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
See what you can do.
For the late file, then, the ruling.
We're approving that to go ahead and hear those?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Let me pull up the next one. So the next one we have is going to be a request for reconvene. This is from Jason Ma. It is for property ID 67369116. It is a request for reconvene form. They are using reason 3 in an arm's length transaction, a bona fide purchaser, or contract buyer acquired interest in the property after July 1st, but on or before December 31st of the assessment year, and the sales price was less than 90% of the assessed value. And their explanation says, I'm writing herein for the justification of reconvening the valuing appeal of the property we purchased. The property is located in 715 South 15th Circle, Ridgefield, Washington, 98642. Our purchasing price of the property was $817,500. The date of purchase was 7/17/2023. The assessment value, however, was $894,110. There's a rather large gap between the purchase and the assessment values. Also, our purchase happened after the deadline of appealing, July 1st, 2023, and we feel that qualifies the requirement under the justification of the reconvening request. And I can share that so you can see those values as well.
Did you calculate, is it less than 90%?
Let us double check. Sorry, I received this one a little while ago.
What was the assessed value?
The assessed value is 894,110, and the purchase value was 817,500. Oops. Yes, yeah. So it's looking like 91%.
Yeah, so it doesn't qualify.
Okay.
I calculated 90% being 804,699.
Well, bummer.
What did you say the assessed value was?
Here, hold on, let me.
894,110.
And then their purchase price was 817,500.
I still get 804,699 is 90%, so it's greater than 90% of the value, so it doesn't qualify.
Yep, 804,699.
Too bad. But doesn't meet the qualification.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, that's too bad.
All right, so that one's a no. And then we have one final one. This is from Gary and Susan Westbow. Their tax parcel number is 1105-322-86. They are using a good cause request form, and they are referencing reason A, which is a death or illness in the family. Gary Westbow wrote, wife was very sick with RSU, or RSO, I'm sorry.
RSV, maybe?
RSV, yes, thank you, Lisa. We had to go to the doctor many times. She's still very sick. My wife does all of the taxes, so her absence was, or her, I'm sorry, I'm not sure what he wrote, was very hard for me to learn what documents to provide. And I'm going to present this to you since it's hard for me to read, so you can see.
Isn't illness a reason?
Yes, that's reason A he referenced on the good cause.
Okay. I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. I'm okay too.
Okay.
I'm okay also.
Alrighty. And that was our last late file.
So now we're going to do sweet. I'll be interested to see what you guys think of sweet.
Alright. This is the January 9th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 242 for property ID 17086-1000. The property address is 28418 Northeast 53rd Street. And the property is owned by Barbara and Daniel Ryder. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There's no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Barbara here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Excuse me.
Oh, okay. So you all have copies of the tome I mailed in?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So probably we can just jump through it, I guess. So basically, our claim is that we think our property is assessed to the property of the house, and the land are actually assessed at too high of an amount. We have galvanized pipes. We've had four leaks in, and we've had failures, which produced a lot of problems and required us to do a lot of work to fix the leak problems. The correct solution is to have it the whole entire house repiped for about $23,000. Our house was re-roofed in 2005 with asphalt shingles, and it is time to have it re-roofed again. We've had three guys come out and give estimates. The amount is listed there on page one of about $17,000. We also need a new garage door. Our old door is wooden, and as they age, they start to sag on the side, and it sags a great deal, and it also doesn't, we can't roll it up anymore because we get up about 4 feet, and then it falls off, the rollers fall off on the above. The good news on that one has actually gotten cheaper. The estimate we got for one with windows, like what we have now, is about $3,800 installed. We also have a problem with linoleum. All the linoleum in our house has tested positive for asbestos. And the reason we found that out is when we had one of those leaks, they came and had to remove the linoleum in the entryway, and they tested it, and it had asbestos in it, so they had to use a special technique to remove it. At that time, I paid extra money so they could go around and test all the rest of the floors, and they too tested positive for asbestos. So not easy for us to do that ourselves. We'd have to have them do it. Then on page two, we've been looking at the paint on the house, and we had two guys come and look at it, and they said one of the problems is it's T11 siding, but that most of it looks like it's in pretty good shape. But the one estimate was pretty high, $7,700, but Creekside came out in at the last minute and gave us an estimate of about $4,800, and that included doing a lot of work, scraping and all this stuff, and minor touch-up. So those are the ones that I got estimates for. And for all of those, I just felt, you know, okay, the house is not in good condition. We've kept it so that it's livable, but that's kind of where we are. When looking at the assessor's grant estimate, let's jump to page 16. Actually, let's jump to page 17. Basically, they came up with three houses that they said were comparable to our house. And the way they described it was something that a person who was looking to purchase a house would consider our house within the same grouping of these. And I guess our main argument is I think that's kind of ridiculous, because they left out some important information on their grid, like how many bedrooms are in the houses, and each of these houses have 4+ bedrooms, and if you pay attention to the square footage, they almost all have double the square footage that our house has, so it's kind of hard to see those as comparable. They are comparable in the extent that they're all these houses are about 2.5 acres, sitting on about 2.5 wooded acres, but that didn't really seem to make a lot of difference, because when I looked at the value of the house's property, which normally you can't see that if you don't own the property for our house was estimated as higher than all of the others, which seemed even further confusing to me. Our property is very steep and narrow, and it's very difficult to access. We have about an 8-10% or higher grade. We're 100 feet from the street, and wow. The idea that's comparable to these, which all of them are sitting on fairly flat pieces of property. So, I don't even know if you can do anything about the land valuation, but that seemed pretty squirrely to me. So I guess just running through it quickly here, I'd say the main argument is I don't think that the assessor's comparables or anywhere near where, if I were looking for a house, if I were looking for a four-bedroom, 3,200 square foot house plus, with amendments like multiple fireplaces and lots of great parking and a flat area, I certainly wouldn't consider our modest home at 1,400 square feet to be equivalent. That's about it, I guess. Do you have any questions for me?
I don't have any questions.
No, I have no questions.
No, I think I'm okay on it. Your estimate bids for getting repair done all look good. It's nice to see them. Usually people just write down a number, so it's nice to see actually some bids on it. So yeah, I'm okay with it.
Okay.
Hey.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Does the board have any say in the land valuations?
Yes.
I see. I guess one of the ones that kind of can, the reason I'm asking that question is I was really baffled. I drive by these houses, two of the houses on my way into Camas to do shopping and stuff every day pretty much. And I was really shocked when I looked at those because I'm like, wow, those are really nice houses. So I guess I wasn't real sure about how that all plays out. But the property also, just to point out one other thing, the Comp 3, which is valued at the highest, those people have a spectacular view, which I did include a picture off of Google Maps of pretty much about a quarter of the, you can see the Cascade Range, and it's quite a view. I've always kind of envied that view, and that's Comp House Street. I can't find the page, darn it. So I'm thinking that's kind of a big deal, a view. And then Comp House 1 and Comp House 2, I drive by those, one of the houses. The other one is actually on a dead-end street. But those houses are really very flat lots, which I envy. I mean, I lust for that because we have to, we can't park more than five cars at our house. If we wanted to, we would have to open back up the logging trail along behind the house and then try to flatten an area, which that would be above our well, which would be a bad thing to do. So anyway, I guess that's it from my end.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okie doke.
Okay.
I thank you for your time and have fun the rest of this day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Close the hearing.
This is the January 9th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves Petition 241 for property ID 14331800. The property address is 37014 Southeast 13th Street, and the property is owned by Richard Antoinette Sweet. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant. The appellant submitted three comparable sales, property ID 14331700, sold for $1,220,000 in May 2023, 14331900 sold for $1,200,000 in March 2023, and 14332200 sold for $1,400,000 in September 2022. The assessor's evidence included three sales and a cover letter recommending no change to the assessed value. Since there's no one present, I will turn it over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is the January 9th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves Petition 244 for property ID 986-040-815. The property address is 5413 Northeast 133rd Street. The property is owned by Paul and Julia Tkachuk. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There's no one present from the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant. No detailed quantitative information was provided by the appellant for the board review, and the assessor's evidence included four sales and a cover letter recommending no change to the assessed value. Since no one is present, I will turn it over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is the January 9th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 231 for property ID 379-16981. The property address is 4900 East 5th Street, and the property is owned by John Waldhouse. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There was no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have John here for the appellant. If you could just please raise your right hand to be sworn in now.
Yes, my right hand is raised. Go ahead.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, I do swear. It will be the truth. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Just to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Very good. Thank you. So this property was purchased in 1988, and it was very dilapidated. And we did as much repairs as we could to get my son moved into the property, but there is still a lot of deferred maintenance that has never been completed, and we're doing that as time and money allow. So some of the problems that are reducing the value in my mind are that the roof repairs need to be done. The entire roof is covered with moss, and the house has siding repairs that need to be done. The house is on a sloped lot, and there are a lot of trees that are hanging over the house and dropping branches on the house. And the slope of the lot behind the house goes uphill, and a couple of retaining walls that were built many, many years ago before I owned it are falling over, and so the yard, the slope needs stabilizing, and these are things that I will have to take care of, but they, in terms of the value of the property, I feel that if I were to try to sell it at this time, it would seriously diminish the value of it. So there is drywall wall repairs and painting still needed inside, and the lot is a smaller lot. So those are pretty much the reason. Many trees need trimming too, and that adds to a devaluation because another buyer would have to take care of those expenses. So for those reasons, I'm requesting that the value of the property be kept without much increase as of the last year.
You said you bought it in 1998. I thought you said
2018. I'm sorry. 2018. Oh my God! I'm getting old. I'm so sorry. 2018.
That's what
2018. I bought. Oh my God! It's the cold weather. It's affecting my brain. Oh, God, thank you for correcting me.
Well, I just wanted to clarify it. I thought that's probably what you meant.
I appreciate you averting me from committing perjury.
I don't have any other questions.
You, let me just tell you, your appeal for us to consider those things that need to be done. We would need to have documented bids for completing those things, and if you wanted it to be comparable to some other property, you'd need to provide those copies or comparisons for us. Just just doing the decision that we made last time for 2022 doesn't do it. We have it has to be a complete new submittal of information. And even though you still have those things to do, the property values do go up even in their existing conditions. You had an appraisal for sort of a balance point last year, but that appraisal has become a little bit stale at this point.
I see. So I would actually need a new appraisal, is that what you're thinking?
Well, you don't have to spend money for a new appraisal, but bid, if you're saying the cost to cure those things that are wrong with it, like a new roof or a new siding or anything, would have to be accompanied by a bid from a contractor for us to be able to provide an allowance for that.
I see. Okay. I don't have those. What is my alternative right now then, to try to get those within the 30 days coming up, or?
Yeah, if you choose, you can appeal this to the state. You have 30 days to do that appeal. The appeal will not happen for, you know, probably several months. So you have time to accumulate all those things, and they will give you a deadline as to when you have to have new information provided to them. You'll have more than the 30 days, and I can't say how much, but probably at least a couple of months to get that information and to provide with your appeal to the state.
Got it. Thank you. I wasn't able to bring up the property website this morning. For some reason, my computer wasn't connecting on to the Clark Assessor's Office. What are you showing for the value that was assessed as of a year ago, 2023, January 1st?
What value? 304770.
304770. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, I have no further questions. John, you have anything?
No, I have no questions on this one.
Oh, okay. Nor do I.
We'll close that hearing.
This is the January 9th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 232 for property ID 379-18624. The property is owned by John Wildhouse. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There's no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have John for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Okay, my right hand is raised.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. So go ahead and, let me just tell you. We have a document here that the appraiser for the assessor's office has recommended that they accept your value based on their review of your information and the information that they have suggested accepting your value of $92,000. You accept that? Did you not get that information from them?
I guess not. That sounds very reasonable. Yeah, if $92,000 is what they're finding, that sounds reasonable. My only argument was that I have not done any improvements to the property, and it is a long driveway, and to run utilities and things like that. It's a sloped property with a lot of woods on it. So to develop it, it will cost. But as you said, those aren't reasons to, I wasn't sure what all the criteria for, appealing was, but $92,000 is acceptable. I would accept that.
Okay. Close that hearing.
This is the January 9th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 233 for property ID 303-370-7500. The property address is 655 Southwest Trout Court, and the property is owned by John Waldhaus. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There's no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have John here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand to be sworn in.
My right hand is raised.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing be the truth under penalty of perjury?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. We have a letter here from the assessor's office that agrees with your recommended fair value of $272,530, down from their original assessment of $370,348. So they've dropped it $97,500.
Okay. I apologize. I don't have the paperwork in front of me, and I thought it was a higher assessment than the $272,530. With inflation and things like that that have happened, I think that's reasonable. My argument for higher would be that there is still a lot of deferred maintenance. We got the house repaired enough to get her moved in, the leaky plumbing and things like that. There are still a lot of deferred maintenance to go on, but no, I do not have any bids for them. So at this time, I'm willing to accept $272,530.
$272,530.
That's the amount you asked for. So just that's exactly the amount that you asked for.
Oh, okay.
Makes you feel better.
Yeah, well, I apologize for unnecessary admin work, having the hearing and stuff. Yeah, I misunderstood somehow.
Yeah. Yeah,
$272,530 is fine.
They send these out. This one was sent out, it looks like, on September 29th last year. And it's sent out by email, and it's an attachment. And sometimes people don't open those attachments that are with that email, but that's where their information comes from, and they've agreed to your number. So,
okay. Well, again, I apologize for the unnecessary hearing here then, but yeah, that is acceptable. For some reason, I thought it was way up in the 400 level, and I'm like, wait a minute, guys. So again, yeah, I don't have any bids or anything, just a lot of deferred maintenance and existing conditions.
Okay.
Okay. Close that hearing.